Last Sunday afternoon, talked about mercy and mercy extended. And first of all, we measure it by the mercy that was extended to us from the Lord. And then it comes down to us extending it to others. I'd like to continue with the thought of mercy this afternoon. If I could put a title to it, it would be Mercy versus Human Nature. Quite a contrast there. I looked at the definition of mercy. The tenderness of heart that a person has to treat an offender better than he deserves. And you know, whether that's just in mind how much better than he deserves, or by the laws around me of what he deserves, it says causes an injured person to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law or justice would warrant. A tenderness of heart within us. And it said also, this stood out to me, in this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language that is synonymous with mercy. A lot of times when you look through the dictionary, it'll say, you could use these other words in the place of it. But it said, with this definition, there's not another word that could be just like it. Mercy stands alone by itself. And what I need to do when I look at mercy is to measure myself by God's mercy. So I'd like to look at a few verses. I'd like to start over in Psalms 130 and the second verse. First verse is, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Second verse, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, yes, O Lord, who should stand? You know what that does right there? If I would just take this one verse by itself and realize, Lord, you know what? The mercies that you have extended to me, if you marked them all without forgiving me of them, who's going to stand? But the mercy that he has shown to me makes me realize how valuable it is. I need to extend that mercy to others. If you would mark iniquities, who would stand? And then there's a verse over in Lamentations, 3rd chapter, 22nd verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You know, those two words do kind of go together. I find them going together often. Mercy and compassion. They fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And you remember when David had his prayer, he's needing God so bad. Was the Lord there for him? Psalms 51, when he prayed his prayer. And you know, I really wish, when we think about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and he fell. I sure wish we had another chapter where he came back with the kind of prayer that David had. This is David's prayer. First verse, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. The multitude of your tender mercies. And it didn't say, your mercies were so great, my sin was not very big, so it's not a big deal. No, what he's saying is, I tell you what, because of the multitude of your tender mercies, a merciful God, blot out my transgressions. And I am thankful that he has done that for us. I was looking at a song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The chorus says this, and it says it again, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. You know what? Really, it's a mercy. If we wake up in the morning and the sun is shining, it's shining on the just and the unjust. It's shining on people that say there is no God, and he still sends rain on the just and the unjust. He still sends sunshine. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. There's a word that goes along with mercy. We saw it in this already. Compassion. And you know, when we read about the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, there were good people that passed by on the other side. Probably just had some things that they needed to do. But there was one man, and I believe Jesus said it for a reason. It was a Samaritan that was the one that stopped. Because remember, it says in other places, the woman at the well, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. There is no dealings between the two. So it made this story stand out even more so, because this man was not one of their race. And yet he had mercy on him. And you know how that story ended up? Jesus said, "Go thou and do likewise." You go out and finding things, others that need help. And whether they are, whether we feel like they deserve it or not, you know, this human nature, I find out, it's something we got to deal with. The Bible talks about that we would be partakers of a divine nature. You know, to be able to do that, I've got to put human nature out of the way and take on who Christ was. And how many times we find Christ denying himself for others. Over in Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth his love toward us. Here's his love, his mercy that was extended to us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful he did.
Yes.
You know, this, the last 3 weeks, Sister Maxine's messages have been on forgiveness. You know what? True forgiveness has some mercy attached to it.
Yes.
It is these verses that we've read up to now, realizing if he would mark iniquities, if he would have marked those in my past, Lord, who would be able to stand? It is of your mercies. And I'm not talking about us going out and sinning.
Yes.
I'm just talking about places where, you know what, I could have done that better. And the Lord comes along and shows me how I could have done it better. Well, you know what? It was his mercy that he didn't cut me off with those. He's not willing that any would perish, but that we'd all be able to come to repentance. That's not just repentance of sin. I think that's times where I realize I've grieved God in this area of my life. And I come back to him and he is ready to forgive. There's a verse over in Galatians that I think is important for us. In Galatians 6 and 1. Here's how mercy comes about. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's an interesting verse. When I'm working with someone that has failed, that has fallen, you know, it's a real good thing to realize, you know what? Considering myself, you know what? If it weren't for the mercy of the Lord, I could be in the same situation or worse. We're living in a time where if we're not careful, it's easy to look at this transgender thing and all the people that are falling for it and have an attitude about it. But you know what this one says? Considering thyself, you know, except for the mercy of the Lord dealing in my life, where would I be today myself? I think that causes us to extend mercy. The story of Joseph, we've heard it in several of the messages about forgiveness. But you know, it's a great example of forgiveness, not only forgiveness, but mercy extended. Causes a person to treat an offender better than they deserve.
Yes.
Less punishment than justice would allow. And you know, we find with him, it's like he committed his life into God's hands. The things that he did, he didn't, as soon as he went to the throne, he didn't hire a lawyer when he got the position he did where he could do something about it, he didn't hire a lawyer to go back after Potiphar's wife. You know what? He committed all that past into God's hands. Forgiveness is going to be something that releases us maybe more than the other person. Because, you know, sometimes the other person doesn't even know we have a problem. We're not out telling it. The other person doesn't even realize we have a problem with them. And we're the one that suffers from it. Somehow, Joseph was able to commit all that to the Lord's hands. And he had mercy. We see it on his brothers. He had mercy on them. It was not you that put me here. It was God. What if, when people wrong us, I could have the attitude, God must see that there's something in me that needs this?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't that be something to be able to see it that way? And to say, Lord, what do you have in this for me? I guess I'll always remember brother from Neosho that had the accident, Brother Veda. Veda McMillan, in his accident when he was so broke up and they take him to his home, put him into bed. You know, he could have had so many things to say to the Lord, why did you allow this to happen? And you know, bitterness, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. But what he did with the Lord was he had a prayer to him. Lord, what do you have in this for me? There's some reason that you've allowed this to happen. You know, it's going to make a whole lot, the messages that we're hearing on forgiveness and the messages about mercy, it's going to help me a whole lot if I say everything that comes into my life passes through God first. I believe Job saw it that way. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. You know, they came and told him what the Sabaeans took. They told him what the Chaldeans took.
Yes.
But you know what? When he went back to the Lord, he didn't name who that was. He said, the Lord gave it. Mm-hmm. The Lord took it away.
Yes.
We get to bypass a whole lot of trouble.
Yes.
What does it say? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And maybe we carry it to him in prayer, but my thought is, Lord, would you fix that person over there? Maybe if I say, Lord, is there something that you want to adjust in me? Let's think about that out in the future, because we've mentioned it over several times. If we don't need it today, every one of us will need it sometime. And may we ask the Lord at the time when someone does something to us, Lord, I understand that everything comes through your hand and you have allowed this to happen.
Yes.
What do you have in this for me? I believe it would be a help for us. Abraham, you know, we don't hardly ever read this little portion of story about Abraham. When he offered to Lot, you pick which way you want to go. Did Lot say, Abraham, you're the oldest. I'm going to give you the best. I thank you for the choice you gave me, but I'm going to take this lesser property. He didn't. He chose the best for himself. But you know what? Abraham had to watch his attitude. Because the day comes when Abraham is needed. Lot is down in Sodom. There's been a little war, and Lot has been taken captive. And Abraham could have said, I knew that boy was going to get himself in trouble. He sure did. You know what he did? He took men and rescued Lot. Mercy was extended back to him, not just once, but more than once. When he entreated the Lord, and he said, if you could find 50 righteous people, you know what I believe he considered Lot to still be a righteous person, Abraham did, and consider maybe there's still some other people that's been influenced by Lot down there. Maybe there's some righteous people around there. You know what? That's him asking for mercy from the Lord. And I want to be able to take a lesson from these things. Mercy versus human nature. What is human nature without the Lord stepping in and helping us? We'd all be in trouble. After being with Jesus, his disciples walking right next to him talking to them, you know, them being at the, we hear about the Sermon on the Mount, that's three chapters that we read. You know, they were just right around there in all that time and other times that he talked to them. And after seeing the mercy and compassion that he had, they come up on a situation that they think needs to be judged. It's over in Luke, the 9th chapter, and the 52nd verse. Here we look at this picture, and Jesus is sending messengers before his face. They went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When you read sometimes in the commentary, it says, because they knew he was going up to Jerusalem to worship, and this is a city of the Samaritans, they don't have any dealings with each other, then they didn't welcome him to stay there. But here's what I'm interested in. What are we talking about? Mercy versus human nature. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? He turned and rebuked them. And he said, you know not what spirit you're of. I wonder, sometimes, if while I'm desiring to live right, that the Lord could come back to me and say, Dan, what you just did there, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, we need the Lord to reveal to us ourselves at all times. Because he goes right on and he says, the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but he's come to save them. And they went on to another village. Trouble passed. We'll just move on. So how about for us? We see over there in the Sermon on the Mount, the disciples were probably there while it was going on. In the 5th chapter, 43rd verse, ye have heard that it hath been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. You don't think this will take some forgiveness and some mercy?
Yes.
It's going to involve them both. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And here it tells us, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good. This is his mercy being extended to the world today. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, we read a story over in Luke, the 15th chapter, because this is what human nature can do. When we read about the prodigal son, he came into a place where he was needing mercy and forgiveness in the 15th chapter. And remember when he came to himself and he said, my father's got servants that are living better than I am. I'm going to go back. We heard in the Sunday school lesson this morning, something that is very important for us is humility, to be able to get any help from the Lord. You know what? I think it took humility for him to get help from his father. If he had come back and said, Dad, you didn't give me enough money. I ran out too quick. Give me some more. I think I deserve more than that. Probably would have had a different reception. But when he came back to his father and said, I don't deserve anything else. Would you let me be a servant? We read about that. But you know, there is something else that goes to that story. It didn't end right there. There was a brother that was involved that had done right all the time up to that time. And you remember when he heard the music and he saw what all was going on, and he asked him what was happening. Was he say, oh, I'm so happy. I've been praying for that brother myself. He said he was angry. He wouldn't go in. You know what? That's human nature. That would be natural for me if I've been working in the field sweating all the time. My brother's been down there at the city partying. Now he's out of money and here he comes back and they're going to feed him with some good food. Human nature would say, rise up against that. And he did. There's a lesson in that for us.
Yes.
You know, we can live faithful to the Lord all our life. And somebody can live a wicked life, and they come up to the end, and they say a prayer, and the Lord forgives them.
Yes.
You know what we want to be careful about? Our attitude. We want to be able to say, I thank God if you take somebody in at the last day, because there's somebody that was taken in at the last day. Luke 23. See, we're measuring our mercy against Jesus' mercy. Luke 23 and 42. This man on the cross is asking Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, Jesus could have responded, where have you been these last 3 years when you had an opportunity to know me? And now you're just wanting help right at the end. He didn't say it. We don't know anything about that man's story, nor did Jesus care about it. When he came to him, what did he say? Verily I say unto thee, today you will be with me in paradise. I find these places where it tells us about what human nature would be. And I find, Lord, I want to move away from those areas. I want you to be able to help me to have the mercy like you extended it. There is another place over in Matthew, because I see places where human nature took over. Matthew 20 and 1. We don't read this account very often, but it's about the householder that went out early in the morning and he hired some people to go to work for him. And he agreed with them for a penny a day. He went out the third hour. He saw others standing idle, sent them to work. And from that point on, he just told them, whatever is right, I'll give you. And in the fifth verse, the sixth and the ninth hour, he's gone out, still finding some people in the marketplace, and he puts them to work. And then about the 11th hour, he goes out and he finds others standing idle. Saith unto them, why do you stand idle all the day long? And they say to him, because no man hath hired us. And he tells them the same thing. Whatever is right, I'll pay you. You know, he only had to work 1 hour before it was payday. And here is human nature. What it's going to be whenever it doesn't seem like justice is being served. And there was an agreement for that. But it says they're going to pay them from the first to the from the last to the first. So they watched this man that worked 1 hour get a penny. You know what the natural instinct was? I'm going to get more than that, even though I agreed for a penny. And it says, when they received a penny also, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought 1 hour, and you made them equal to us. What does that have to do with me today? You know what? I want to have mercy in my heart toward others. That, Lord, if you happen to bring somebody in at the last minute, you already gave me an example of mercy being shown when you were on the cross yourself. You could have told him, look, man, I am hurting myself. I don't have any time for anybody else. But instead, he extended mercy to him while he was on the cross. I want to be able to have that same kind of mercy extended. Another example. This is human nature. Jonah was sent down to Nineveh to preach a message to them. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. You know, we can have a message to the world. Destruction is out ahead for you, the direction that you're going. That's really what the disciples were wanting to do to that city that did not welcome them. Let's call down fire out of heaven and destroy them. We can go with a message. And that is the only message that was given to Jonah to give them. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. What happened to Jonah on the way? He ended up being in the belly of a fish for 3 days. And he had a prayer. You know what he's praying for? Lord, I need some mercy extended to me. Would you look down in mercy upon me? You know, when that fish spit him out, he was so happy. God didn't tell him that he needed to say anything but those 8 words or whatever. Nineveh's going to be destroyed. What would it have been if Jonah would have said, this is the message, but I want to tell you something. Let me tell you what has just happened to me. and God has been merciful to me. But you know what human nature was? I want to see this people destroyed. I'm going to sit back and watch it. To the point that when he realizes that those folks have repented and God has forgiven them, I think they were talking like it's 120,000 people that repented. That's a camp meeting right there. Yeah, more than that amount. That's a camp meeting that Jonah could have been a part of. He could have been continuing on. Come on, folks, if there's anybody else, let me tell you the story again. Let me let you know I would have died if God had not had mercy on me. But instead, it tells us something over in Jonah 4. When he heard about it, here's human nature. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. What was his anger about? Lord, you forgave those folks when you told me you were going to put them to death. He prayed to the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? In other words, I think what he's saying is, Lord, this is why I didn't want to come in the first place. Why? And he tells him, for I knew thou art a gracious God and merciful. He knew he was merciful. How? It had just been extended to him. Yes. You are merciful. You're a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness. You repent of the evil that you plan to do. Because just a few days before, God had repented of the evil probably that he was going to do to Jonah and let him live. I find from these a lesson. Because you know what? I've got human nature, we each one do, that we have to deal with. God wants us to be a partaker of the divine nature. But we will always have to make a choice when something comes to us. Jonah made a choice when what came to him. He could have been rejoicing, praising God, going around there, thank you, Lord, for extending mercy to these people. But he didn't do it. Instead, he was angry. The other example that I'd like for us to look at is in Matthew 18. Sister Maxine has used this for the forgiveness, where the man took account of his servants, 18 and 23. Said that man, the servant had a debt that he could not pay. Yes. Would not be able to pay it. And mercy was extended. You know, that story has something for me. I was thinking of this song. I owed a debt I could not pay. Yes. He paid a debt he did not owe. Talk about compassion. It talks in this story about when this servant fell down and worshiped him in the 26th verse. Lord, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. Yes. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. But you know, it goes on down, and I just almost think of this as being, maybe it was the same day while he's heading home, so happy that he has been released. But in my mind, I think about he sees this person. You know what that means? He's had some thoughts about that person before now. And now this thought comes back to him. This man owes me something. You know, in our life, we're going to find there's people that owe us something. Yes. Maybe they owe us an apology. But I tell you what, that apology is so small compared to what God has forgiven me of. If I could just realize that. So it says he went out and he found a fellow servant. And you know what he did displeased the Lord, the king of that. And it goes on down in Matthew 18 and 35. Says he was wroth, 34, wroth, delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all. And here's what this one tells us. So likewise shall my heavenly Father. You know, I think this continues on down to 2023. Yes. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your hearts do not forgive those who trespass against you. You know, we read over in the 8th chapter of John, says there was a woman that was caught in adultery. Yes. And Jesus came back to them with a question, with a statement. He that is without sin, cast the first stone. You know, I don't think that lesson is for us, that we all have sin in our lives, so there's nothing we can do about it. But for me to realize, you know what? I had sin that was forgiven, and I can have compassion on those who need their sins forgiven. There are a couple of verses I would like for us to read. In that Sermon on the Mount, he just had a little small piece to say. Blessed are the merciful.
Yes.
They're going to obtain mercy. You know, that's not just you'll get mercy from other people if you'll have mercy to them. I'll have mercy that comes straight from God himself.
Yes.
When I show mercy to others. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter. I think maybe Sister Maxine even gave this when we talked about the golden rule. As you would, Luke 6 and 31, as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. That could involve forgiveness that I extend to them, and I'd like to have brought back to me. That would have the mercy that I should extend to others, realizing the Lord's had mercy on me. As you would the men should do to you, do you also likewise to them. And in the 36th verse, here's the standard that I need to measure by. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father, which is in heaven, is merciful. May I always remember the verse that says, Lord, if you were going to mark iniquities, who would stand? But he is of tender mercy to us, and I'm very thankful for it. Blessed are the merciful, they will have mercy. Be ye therefore merciful, just like your Father, which is in heaven, is merciful. I want to be able to have that mercy. I'm thankful when it's extended to me, but I want to also extend it to others. And to be able to do that, I'm going to have something done about human nature. You know, just my own thinking about things are going to take me in one direction, but I need to measure by how Christ did it. I desire your prayers.